Hey there, my name is Seth Juarez. Again, we are looking at how to build awesome bots, not just command line interfaces, which I've seen a lot of. And so I have my good friend here telling us a little bit how to do that. I thought we would take a look at, because we saw a little bit about how to work with multiple channels. We saw a little bit of the Skype thing and we didn't get into it. But then I also saw there was this custom thing on the website, which was super cool. So let's talk first off, how do you use multiple channels? Like, is there some code that you have to write to say, hey, I'm on Skype, or hey, I'm using Direct Channel, or tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the nice things about the bot framework is that it does abstract a lot of that kind of stuff away from us. So let's go and have a look in the portal and see how that looks in code.
Okay.
So if we flip to the next channel, the next tab here, we can see the channels that are available. So I've enabled
a few of
these for my particular bot. So I don't want to oversimplify things here, but really it is just a matter of adding each one if you want to support it. So you click add, it'll ask you for a few details. So for example, for Facebook Messenger, it would ask you a little bit about your connection to Facebook. You would need to register with them, but it's really just a couple of forms you fill out and suddenly it's available through that channel.
Wow, email and text with Twilio, that's pretty impressive.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
And is it using the same code that you had before? Do you have to be like, hey, if Twilio, then do it this way?
Good question. So what I think I would say is that it's really important to test your code across all of the channels.
Right.
Now, the bot framework takes care of a whole bunch of stuff, but obviously if you want to send a carousel, that's not going to do too well over SMS, right? You know, just top tip there.
That's right.
If you've used SMS before, you might not have seen that. But okay, so you test across all of the channels. Generally, they map pretty nicely, but it is important to test. The other thing to consider is that it's really important to actually think about your users' experiences, right? How do they most naturally interact with Facebook, or how do they naturally act with email? And if you find through your testing that that doesn't quite map the way that you would expect, you do have that opportunity to change it, right? So as part of the context you're provided in the bot framework, it'll tell you what channel the user's interacting over.
And I thought
so you
I
can
saw
actually
some,
change a few things.
I thought I saw some code on there. Let's look at that code, because there was like, am I on Skype? I felt like there was some code there.
Yeah. So let's take a look. Right up the top here, we grab whole bunch of different properties.
There's one. There's the is Skype. There it is.
There we go. So on the activity, there we go. There's an analoging. So once we have the activity, once we've deserialized the raw message, we can actually determine how this user is interacting with us, and we can make intelligent choices. It's not required. You know, it's going to work really nicely without it. But you know, there are some cases where you want to provide a custom experience to a specific channel, and this allows you to do that.
And this feels very much like the whole Xamarin thing, right? Where you have sort of this base of things and you can use Xamarin Forms and it works perfectly on all three, but if you want to do even more custom stuff for Android or for iOS, then you got to say, hey, am I on Android or iOS? Or you can make a new project that sort of works with that and you can sort of escape out to that.
And that's exactly our experience with this, right? We started with stuff that was simple, and then as we went on, we said, okay, well, when we're dealing with the website, we've got a whole bunch more flexibility than we do, for example, when we deal with Facebook Messenger. So let's make that richer. Let's actually invest and make that a really cool experience. But you know, we start on a platform that supports everything out of the box, and then we can kind of customize as we need to when the opportunity arises.
Awesome. Well, let's go back to the Azure website, because I want to see that channel things again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a question of adding it and then configuring it. Because for example, email is to be like, well, what email do you want it to send to?
Absolutely.
Kind of okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So for the, let's talk about the direct line and web chat, because those I don't think I've seen before, and I'm not really quite sure what they mean. So what is the web chat?
So the web chat is just an embedded control that you can host on your website,
okay,
right? So Microsoft have done the heavy lifting there. You can embed that and you can run with it, right? Okay. So it's, as you can see on the right here, there's a web chat panel. So it's very similar to what is already here. The direct line is kind of for power users. That's what we've done with our website, and that gives you full control over the web experience. They give you an endpoint and then good luck. Right, so you can build really custom web experiences over the top of the bot framework.
I see. So web chat, there's a bot. What is the bot embed code to embed this web chat into?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. So they give you a long token that allows you to secure your bot.
Okay.
And you'd use that to generate tokens.
So the web chat would be like, hey, here's some UI for you. Just use it, and then we'll do it. Direct line is, okay, you want to build your own Angular 2 application and you want to get
which
your
is
own.
Exactly what we did.
Holy cow, look at that. So you want to make your own Angular 2 application with your own UI, with your own whatevers. DirectLine is how you do it. So I feel like we need to get into DirectLine a little
bit. Let's go and have a look at the DirectLine. Okay. And I think the best way to look at the DirectLine is just to jump into the website.
Okay.
And we can actually see it running in the background. So if I jump over here and we'll just kind of skip over the error messages that you see. You saw nothing, you saw nothing.
This is real code, people.
So if we load this up, we can actually see as we go through, there are two ways to interact with the DirectLine service. The first one is just a poll. That's the easy way out. That's what we've done, is basically we just call the bot service every second and say, do you have any new messages for me? And similarly, when we want to send to the DirectLine service, we just make a post. So if you can make an HTTP request in JavaScript, which, you know, some of us can.
And yes.
Yeah.
And some of us even can in Angular.
Whoa.
Maybe.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you can do that, you're ready to interact with the DirectLine API.
Well, let's type at it to see what happens. I understand the polling, because the polling might be like, hey, are you still there? Yep. You've been sitting here on this page for 60 minutes. Do you still need my help? Are you in, you know, like, that would be what the polling would do. But then when you type in, what happens? I want to see what's happening.
So I need auto insurance. So at that point, it's going to post a message up to that same endpoint. We'll scroll down. And the message is, you know, who's sending the message, what is the type of message that you're sending, mm-hmm. And then the actual text that's been typed up. And we get a response back. And then next time we poll, we see that as part of the chat. Next time we poll, we see the bot's response, and so on.
What's the watermark thing there?
Well, the nice thing about the watermark is that it allows us not to retrieve the entire conversation every time. It just says, hey, give me all of the messages since this particular
index. It's like the Twitter thing where you're trying to pull all of these tweets since ID. It's almost exactly like that. Awesome.
Yeah, so we just get the latest and greatest. So that was the DirectLine polling API. What I think most folks should look at when they implement DirectLine is the WebSockets API.
Oh, right? Interesting, yeah.
Right, so the WebSockets API obviously means that you don't have to poll all the time, sure. Which makes it a lot more performant. They're able to push messages through you, so it's more responsive. And you actually get more context out of it. So for example, I'm sure you would have seen on things like Skype and Facebook, you can see things like, you know, somebody is typing.
Yes.
Right, so we can actually send things like that. So we can actually even say, hey, the bot is thinking, the bot is typing. And that's what DirectLine with WebSockets allows you to do. It just gives you a slightly more granular view on what's going on, because it's easier to send messages back and forth.
Let's just say someone's using still Battleship Gray WinForms.
Yep.
DirectLine would also work, because
absolutely,
you would open some kind of socket and you would connect as well that way.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, so a couple of questions more about DirectLine. You are building here, it looks like, your own UI for this.
That's right.
And then I want to see if I understand it. There's some set timeout things happening every second that go and say, hey, do you have something for me? And then every time you send something, you post something back. And then this watermark thing updates. And then this is how the conversation continues.
We can actually see one of the responses come back, right? So again, it's just JSON. We can see that the message is from Lance, and that's the text. So we can then render that. If we step one or two along, now we can see the response back from the bot. We can say, I can help you get a new automotive policy, and you can see that in the UI. So that's where this is coming from. And then you see the updated watermark. So basically, you can just kind of keep context as you go along.
Amazing. And so not only can you use sort of the built-in experience that's already there with the own, because let's go back to, if you don't mind, going back to this thing. You have your own web chat. You can sort of use this. By the way, I pointed and you didn't see. I want you to see. So you can use a web chat that's already done,
mm-hmm.
or you can use DirectLine to create any kind of Chrome around what you're doing.
Yeah.
So this is pretty awesome. Anything else to add about channels?
Anything else to add about channels? No, I think that, you know, it really is as simple as you think it is.
Okay.
Are
you sure?
Yes.
Because we know where he lives.
Do you?
No, I don't. I'm just kidding. So let's get into a couple more things on this before we move on to some more intelligence. So let's go to the settings. What do the settings do?
So when you want to use some of these more advanced features, you can actually treat this just like an Azure Function project, right? So if we click on Advanced here, this is actually opening it up as an app service, right? So if you've ever used the app service before, I hope you have. It is really just an app service under the covers. You know, you've got the same deployment options, you've got the same configurations, diagnostics, you've got Kudu in the background. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a legitimate Azure Functions app.
So you might, for example, have this in GitHub, and since it's an Azure, you know, an Azure app service, it can automatically pull and push stuff over. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So let's go back one more. I wanted to see one more thing. Can we go to the top here? Let's talk about the publish. Is the publish sort of the CI/CD type thing, or what is this publish for?
Publish is when you actually want to launch your bot, right? So if you want your bot to be in the Skype directory, if you want your bot to be available broadly, you need to publish it. It needs to be official. So there's, you know, you have to provide who are you, you know, what are your terms of service, what's the support alias, all of that kind of information. Up until that point, I think, you know, for something like Skype, I think there's, you know, 100 users perhaps that you're allowed to have on your bot before this kicks in. But at some point when you want to launch this large, you do need to make it official and publish it.
Awesome. So I think we'll stop there. We talked about multiple channels. We talked about direct line.
Yep.
We talked about the built-in web chat. We also showed you a little bit of how to add other things. My guess is that if you're adding Facebook chat or others, there's some dance, OAuth dance you have to do with Facebook to get some tokens, etc. But this is awesome. We'll stop here, and then we'll do one more on the intelligence, because there was a couple of things that happened with the bot. For example, when you sent it pictures and it knew what it was doing, and there was also some machine learning happening to do sentiment analysis. I want to see how that data pipeline is working, and then how you use intelligence to make, because we talked about intelligence at the beginning with Lewis, but there is some additional intelligence that's happening. I want to see that, and we'll save that for the next segment.